inside the Jaguars on the West Coast, the beautiful Bay Area, San Francisco, as lovely as they say. Oakland, not so lovely on Sunday as the Jaguars lose 19-9 to the Raiders and they fall to 0-2 here in 2013. Welcome everyone to Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mazda here on the West Coast. We're in Silicon Valley. That's Mission Peak behind us. We're a little south of the Bay Area in Fremont, California, atop the Jaguars team hotel. I'm Brent Martineau, sitting in for JP Shadrick. He'll join us a little bit later on in the week. Jeff Lagerman, as always, here on Inside the Jaguars. Beautiful spot.
It is beautiful. I wish it was as pretty at the O.co stadium yesterday for the Jaguars.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't. Let's tell you how it all went down. 200 yards rushing for the Oakland Raiders. Terrell Pryor hurt. Of course, McFadden did as well. The Jaguars could not stop the run. 226 total yards for them on the ground. The Jags give up 5 sacks. Offensively, that is the big story right now. Major concern. The Jags offense continues to struggle, although they did finally hit pay dirt. Took 117 minutes and 7 seconds, but Clay Harbor found the end zone on a pass from Chad Henne. The Jaguars' first touchdown of 2013.
Finally, right? I mean, finally. And, you know, the third quarter was tough on them. Now they had 6 yards of offense in the third quarter. I was wondering if they were going to do anything in the second half. And, hey, the Oakland Raiders ended up kind of backing off a little bit defensively because all they wanted to do was run a 4-minute offense and not put themselves at an opportunity of allowing the Jaguars to make a big play, because the Jaguars, when they scored that touchdown, the score was 19-3, and that's a very comfortable lead with an offense that's struggling.
Sure is. Keep in mind, 2 major storylines this week as the Jags stay out west and head to Seattle. Maurice Jones-Drew sprains the left ankle, got x-rays negative on Sunday, MRI on Monday, so we'll see what happens with him. Could be a heavier load for Justin Forsett. And no starter named in the quarterback spot yet, as Blaine Gabbert still has stitches in his hand. We'll keep an eye on whether it will be Henne or Gabbert in Seattle.
I had a chance yesterday to see Blaine's hand, and it is not a very pretty sight. I mean, you talk about a gruesome cut. It almost looks like a horseshoe, and then there's another area where he's got stitches as well. So it almost looks like 2 cuts instead of just 1 clean area. That'd be tough for him to play against Seattle now. And if you talk about going against Seattle defense, as good as they are, with a quarterback who has stitches that, you know, only a week old, it'd be kind of tough.
So the Jaguars struggle on offense and defense, but you can still be strong on special teams, and the Jags are not right now. Here in Silicon Valley, you're going to take a little technology class of your own, aren't you?
Well, I think as a football team, the Jaguars need to get to the point where they're not hurting themselves as much, and there were a couple examples of that. Number one, on special teams, let's jump right in because I'm going to show a little technology here. And this technology, to kind of start out with, this is the iPad, and it's called ThunderCloud, and the players have the ability to watch all of this on film from wherever they are. And they also actually have Bluetooth-enabled remote controls that they can use. And on the first play that I want to show here, it's a special teams play. And on the special teams play, the punt return team clearly lines up off sides, and you have about 4 guys initially, couple of them creep back, and then you can see that 2 guys are still offsides.
How much of a problem is the dirt?
Well, the dirt has a little bit to do with it because you don't have any seams or any kind of eye gauge, I guess you could say, to where you know where to line up. But you got to be aware of that when you go into the game. It's a dirt infield. You got to make sure you creep back a little bit more. That's a 3rd and 4. That gives them an automatic first down, and then you go to the offense. And on the offensive play here late in the game, Chad Henne drops back, and he looks like he fakes a pass, and then all of a sudden he looks like he's going to throw it, and then he's going to hand it off. The biggest problem with this play is that it just shows confusion. It doesn't show a clear knowledge of what exactly they're trying to do. That has to change. You have to be cleaner than that if you're going to have success offensively.
Well, you're up in the booth. I'm on the sideline, and there's one theme I'm seeing a lot of, and you just mentioned it, communication. There are so many new guys. There are young guys. And there is a clear problem with communication at times.
It needs to get better. It needs to get better, and it needs to get better quick, because the Seattle Seahawks coming up this week, they're an outstanding football team, and they absolutely put it to the 49ers last night. And I know a lot of players saw it. You know, so I think this football team is aware that they've got to get better and get better quick, because the 49ers are a good football team and the Seahawks put it to them.
Well, look out for that game. Gus Bradley's homecoming, of course, going back to Seattle. Well, this guy's far from home. John Osier, of course, right here, your senior writer on Jaguars.com. He's got a view from the Ozone.
I'm John Osier with a view from the Ozone. And we're still here in Fremont, California, a day removed from the Jaguars' loss to the Raiders. And no one's going to tell you that very much about that game looked very good. The offensive line struggled, again, and the offense as a whole struggled too. Combine that with the defense that struggled against the run and just too many penalties from everywhere, and the Jaguars gave themselves no chance in what could have been a winnable game. And that last part is really where the Jaguars need to start. Gus Bradley talked a lot after the game Sunday about eliminating mistakes, and rightfully so. The Jaguars committed 10 penalties, 2 of which led to scores. Bradley also said there was a lack of discipline at times against the run. That allowed the Raiders to rush for more than 200 yards. Now, all of that is trademark stuff for young teams struggling to find their footing. That's where the Jaguars are now. And that's the bad news. The better news is while it's not easy to correct these things, it is possible. The Jaguars aren't the league's most talented team, and that's not going to change this season. Improving the roster is an issue for the long term, but getting the current players to eliminate mistakes, well, that's a short-term issue that could allow the team to compete sooner rather than later.
You can get more of Johnny O on Jaguars All Access, 7 o'clock on Monday night. Cecil Shorts III, Justin Forsett joining Jeff and me out west tonight. And then, of course, you can see it on Jaguars.com starting tomorrow. Well, we are out west. This is different. We're staying out here, practicing at San Jose State. Challenging for this team now, 0-2.
Well, and what it's going to do is kind of combine this football team to this hotel and the practice facility that they're going to be using. It's a great opportunity for them to spend time together and try to find a way to get more production out of their football team.
Well, it could be a good bonding moment, but nothing bonds a team more than a W. We'll see if the Jags can pull off a major shocker up in Seattle next Sunday. We'll be with you all week long. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm Brent Martineau. Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mazda from the West Coast.